Tennessee, 5-5 on the year, 2-4 in conference play after their win over Kentucky, and they'll have Missouri at home, and then they'll be here to take on Vanderbilt to close out their regular season. It would be hard to buy in, and it's strange to say this. It would be hard to buy in at this point. They're not going to make a bowl game in Jeremy Pruitt's first year as Vols head coach, right? I mean, I can't see a scenario where they lose both. Can you?
Well, I mean, I could see the scenario, but if you're just looking at strictly how the teams played on Saturday, Tennessee was the best of those three teams. And you've got a game at home and you've got a game against the Vanderbilt team that who knows what they'll be playing for in that final game of the season. So, and you're going to have motivation if you're Tennessee based off of the last couple of years for that game. So, yeah, I think Tennessee's going to a bowl game now and has a shot to win them both and get to 7 wins, which I think is an incredible accomplishment in his first season.
The thing that stands out to you in the SEC this year is what?
Alabama's incredible.
But does that stand out to you?
Well, how incredible they are. Okay. I mean, I think they're one of the best teams I've ever seen. Beyond that, it's an okay league. I mean, I think Georgia's really good and is basically a playoff team, whether they can actually get there or not. But after that, you know, there's some fine teams. There's a couple of not very good teams, but it's just kind of a lot of ugh.
Right, because you don't really buy in. Like, Kentucky's had a really, really good season. I know it's a little bit easier not to gush about them now because of the last 2 weeks. But still, a Kentucky team that's 7-3, their schedule is very, very – I mean, I think it's pretty clear they're going to finish 9-3, I think. I know they're going to beat Louisville, but they do have MTSU next in Lexington, so they should finish 9-3.
That's a
great season, but nobody's really buying in. Like, man, like, you don't really – it's a great season for them, but nobody's really putting them in the upper echelon tier, even though they've been a top 10 team of college football teams this year, right?
They don't scare you.
No.
If you have a team out there and it's like, who do I not want to play? Kentucky isn't a team that falls into that category where you're like, oh, man. I think we'd be in for a really long afternoon playing against Kentucky. I still have them ranked 21st, I think, in my poll for the Associated Press Top 25 this week. And when I put that out yesterday, Kentucky was probably the team that I got the most hate for, where people said, how can you have Kentucky? You lost to Tennessee even ranked anymore. And the answer is because they're 7-3, and they've got some nice wins. They've won some games on the road, and they're doing that in the SEC. But the real answer, Darren, is – once you get past, like, 13 or 14 in the polls, the rest is just garbage. There's nobody in there that's got some incredible resume that you need to put in. And so it's like, if you take Kentucky out, who's the team that absolutely deserves to be in more than them? Or people who say that I've got Florida too high at 14, who's the team that's definitively better than Florida that I have 15 through 25 or out of the poll that needs to be ahead of them? It's just, to me, frankly, once you get past the top four, maybe 5 with Georgia or 6 with Oklahoma, you start getting to teams with a lot of warts very quickly.
No doubt. Vince Ferrara is on the line with us. The Sports Animal in Knoxville, WNML. He was in attendance, so he could probably weigh in on Kentucky a little bit more than us. He just saw them firsthand. Were you surprised at how dominant Tennessee was in the victory over Kentucky?
I was. That was probably the biggest thing, is how the game played out in the fashion that Tennessee dominated that game, especially at the line of scrimmage. You know, we all talked about the scenarios before that game of how you could make a case for Tennessee winning any of the last three games. You could also make a case for them losing any of the last three games based on the inconsistency we had seen and the potential for Kentucky to have a letdown after Georgia. But that was in play. I just thought the offensive line, especially Tennessee's offensive line struggles would continue in this game, but they didn't. Tennessee had, I think, their best game on the offensive line. They were really good at the line of scrimmage overall. So, yeah, I think the way the game played out, that was the most surprising part of it.
My guess is there's been fewer calls today on the Sports Animal about Keller Crisp being the starting quarterback at UT.
Yeah, they're I think those were void. You know, I wanted to start a Jared Garantano apology hotline But you know what we make in radio, so I wasn't really able to fund it. But the idea was there for sure, because a lot of people owe that kid an apology.
A for effort, though.
Yeah.
Hey, but he's exactly, as I said earlier in the show, he is exactly what you're looking for, even though not all the fan base has bought in, which is, I mean, idiotic in my mind. But you want your quarterback to be able to throw. He can throw. You want your quarterback to be able to take a hit. We know he can take a hit. And, no, by the way, you want your quarterback not to turn the ball over. By the way, he checks off all those boxes. Don't you want that to be your starting quarterback?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, you guys may have talked about the numbers. He set Casey Clawson's consecutive pass attempt record for attempts without an interception. He's at 146 right now, and in 354 career pass attempts, he only has 4 interceptions while throwing 15 touchdowns. So he's protected the ball. I don't think he's 100% healthy. You know, no one's really talked about that. I don't think he is. I think he's more mobile than what he has shown, and that probably has a lot to do with the fact he's just been absolutely beat up all season. So, yeah, he does check him off. And look, I thought it was great. In the post game, sort of had a drop the mic moment at the end of the press conference. They brought that record up that he said of consecutive attempts without an interception. And once he figured out what the record was and they told him, he said, "Oh, that's pretty good, huh?" And then he just got up and walked off, which is just absolutely perfect. His teammates, Daryl Taylor and Dominic Wood Anderson, just busted out laughing. The whole room did, really. And it wasn't a walk-off like to be rude or anything. It was already determined that that was his last question, that he would be let go after that. He just executed it perfectly with a smile. And it just reminded us, with the personality he shows, how unfortunate it is that we haven't got a chance to talk to that kid all year long. He is, not only does he check off all the boxes in terms of a quarterback on the field, but he's not a finished product. He's not a perfect quarterback or anything. He still has things he can improve, but he's got time to do that. But he never says anything wrong. He hasn't said anything wrong when we have talked to him in the past. He always passes on credit to his teammates. He's got a good personality, and to me, he's the guy you'd want to be talking after a game. If you're going to go have go-to guys, I would go to that kid. But for whatever reason, that hadn't happened. We talked to him after a couple wins, and glad he got a chance to kind of feel good in that moment after another good performance and a good team performance as well.
Yeah, I watched the press conference, and I've got to be honest, the first thing that stood out to me, while everything you said was spot on, the first thing that stood out to me is shame on Jeremy Pruitt, the head coach, for not making this kid more available. You should have him as the face of what you're trying to do. And the fact that he has barely ever been made available to you guys throughout the course of this season is a joke. And I can't believe, when you have a kid that's put together like that, he's your starting quarterback and says all the right things and does all the right things, why you wouldn't showcase him more.
I don't know. It's a good question, Darren.
How much has that been, by the way? Why do you think it's changed? Because we used to talk about it for a good portion of SEC Media Days, after SEC Media Days, throughout the first month of the season. Why do you think that has been laxed some?
Oh, you mean them letting him talk to the media now?
Him and the players a little bit more.
I just think I don't know if he uses it as motivation or what, but I just think he wants guys to do the right thing and show improvement and, maybe view those things as a reward. I don't know. His philosophy is not the same. We can't just say, he just came from the Saban tree, because Nick Saban has always made his quarterbacks available. And there's plenty of guys. There's really not the off-limits guys other than freshmen, in Nick Saban's philosophy. So we haven't talked to freshmen here, but they've made plenty of guys available. It's just kind of they have a sort of a go-to rotation of guys. And Juwan Jennings is in that group. We were surprised when, you know, we did end up talking to Jennings, and he's been made available a couple of times now. Nigel Warrior was a guy that we weren't sure we talked to because he could, you know, go off potentially, you know, you would think. But, you know, a lot of these guys, even when they've talked, they really haven't said anything wrong. So I guess you kind of, once you get in there and show that, hey, you're not going to say anything wrong, they'll let you come back around. And some of those guys enjoy doing it. Nigel Warrior is always like, hey, what's up, guys? And when he leaves, he's like, hey, you guys take care, you know, because some of these guys, Jennings and Warrior, and I think Garantano kind of enjoys it too. Ryan Johnson's the center. He said he volunteers to do it. So, you know, those guys, once they prove they won't say anything wrong, you know, let them talk. So I think a little bit of that has been the case also.
Vince, as a member of the media, I'm certainly on Darren's side here with this, and I think most of us are, that I want the most players available as much as humanly possible to give us information to allow us to do our jobs as conduits to the fans and all of that sort of thing. But in a way, as much as I disagree with the policy from early on in the season and how it's been executed, did Jeremy Pruitt sort of establish the program as his in that time, and everybody else has now sort of had to follow suit with his game plan and his idea for what's supposed to go on?
I think he's done that even without the interview policies or anything like that. I'm not sure. I mean, that may be one of many things to fall under that umbrella, but I don't think that was a big reason for it. I just think he kind of goes by what he believes in, and maybe he wanted to make some guys wait before they talk to the media. So, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think that overall, we're talking a lot about it, but I don't think it's a massive deal, really. He's trying to get them better as a football team, and getting them better as a football team is what ultimately is going to get him the opportunity to bring better players in, turn the roster over quicker, and then win on the highest level. So I think everything he does is about that, not necessarily, you know, sending messages or anything.
He talked a lot after the game on Saturday about the process and just getting better throughout practice each week. It's clear this team has done that, and Darren and I talked earlier today that if you asked us in the summer, the ceiling for this team probably would have been 6 or 7 wins, and doubtful that they would have done that. I said if you asked me in September watching their first few games, there's no way they get to 4 or 5 wins the way they played. Then they break through at Auburn. You win again against Kentucky. What does it say that here they are knocking on a bowl appearance in year one, but even more than that, he now has 2 top 20 wins under his belt in his first season as their head coach?
Yeah, guy in the media, Grant Ramey here, I've known for a while, he put out a stat that Jeremy Pruitt has 2 top 25 wins in his first 10 games, where all over the 10 previous seasons, Tennessee went only had 5 wins over top 25 teams in 10 previous seasons, and he's already got 2 in 10 games. So, yeah, that does say a lot. And, you know, doing it against the teams they did weren't the games that you would circle as the season was playing out, that those would be games that they would win. I think it just shows progress. It's what happens with first-year coaches. You expect them to have more guys on board and figure out what it takes from practice habits and learning their system and everything. People forget, such a drastic change in everything they do. Personality, head coach, schemes, everything was just drastically different. And so more guys, I think, are figuring it out. What this team still, though, has not been able to do is string together good performances. You think back on the win at Auburn, what followed that, the Alabama game. Okay, well, it's Alabama, so you give them a break on that. Then they had the South Carolina game, which they played much better, but made some mistakes that cost them in the end a game that they could have and perhaps should have won. Well, how'd they follow that up? With the bad performance at home and the win over Charlotte. Now they beat Kentucky. What do you do to follow that up against Missouri? That, to me, will show progress if they follow that up with a good win, a win over Missouri, and show that those areas that they're getting better, that's how I'll see progress from them.
All right, we'll come back and we'll talk about that to wrap up the third hour. Dulander's coming to town. We'll also talk about Daryl Taylor, his play on Saturday and then went over Kentucky. More with Vince Ferrara. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter, at Vince Sports. Back to wrap up the third hour next. It's the CBS Game of the Week. It'll be on News Channel 5, 2:30 kickoff in Knoxville. Doolander, Derek Dooley coming to town, bringing that offense.
That's the reason. Derek Dooley's offense going back to Knoxville.
No doubt. Hey, Missouri's won two good games. I mean, he went to the Swamp, beat Florida, and could have easily lost to Vanderbilt at home, but they didn't.
Figured out a way.
Figured out a way
Look,
to win.
They're better than people thought they were going to be this year. There's no question.
Yeah. Their offense, I don't think, is better.
No. But they looked pretty good in Florida.
It did. What concerned you about the Missouri game?
Well, Drew Locke, honestly, because Tennessee has the propensity for some guys that, you know, maybe haven't had their best performances. You haven't seen them put together, you know, an elite performance, find it. And Missouri is more balanced on offense. That would be another thing that, you know, Tennessee, unlike Kentucky, if Tennessee is able to slow down Missouri's running game, well, Drew Locke still has the ability to put throws pretty much anywhere. So Tennessee does get it, according to Jeremy Pruitt, Trayvon Flowers, another freshman safety back in the mix. So they'll have all their healthy bodies back there, which they have not had for most of the season. So you know, all hands on deck. So they should be in a better position. But the consistency of Tennessee is what's the unknown here. But Missouri, just different ways they can beat you with both running game and passing game. And I have a little theory on their defense being better. I think it's because they're not as good, you're right, on offense, but they don't go at the frantic pace that they have in the past. And because they do a little bit more pro style, they're a little bit more deliberate at times, it's actually helped their defense to where they don't put them back out on the field so quickly like they used to. Now, they'll still go fast at times, and that's another concern for Tennessee, is Tennessee didn't handle South Carolina's pace very well, and they admitted that. So we may see a little bit more of that from Missouri in the game as the pace, but the balance is probably the biggest thing that Missouri brings on offense that would be a concern for Tennessee.
At Caleb_4 tweeted me during the break, at DMAC_1025. He wants me to ask you, Vince, how recruiting is going for Jeremy Pruitt and his staff right now. I know they had some big recruits in for that game. How much did that help them? In your opinion, you're always up on the recruiting scene.
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's very important to the future of this program that Jeremy Pruitt gets what will be his first full calendar year recruiting class, that it ends up being really strong. But they've got a really good group. They had a lot of very noteworthy prospects in town this weekend, and it wasn't necessarily the result of, hey, we beat Kentucky, so now they're going to sign with Tennessee. It's showing the progress and showing that, look, this is what we're doing in year one. Just think when you're here to help us out and take us to the next level. And getting to a bowl game will allow them to stave off the negative recruiting that will certainly be there if they don't make it. And it helps them. They've got terrific offensive linemen, I think, that are in this class right now, and they're looking for more. And why not with the struggles they've had? Wanya Morris is a five-star that's committed to Tennessee that Auburn and others are still after. You got to finish strong. You got to get to a bowl game and show the progress, and I think it will help them hold this class together and maybe add on with a couple of more elite pieces. If they were to lose these last two games, not make it to a bowl game, not have those practices, and then allow the negative recruiting to come back into play, I think it could hurt them. And then you're talking about a less talented first full year class for Pruitt. It's going to slow down the roster turnover they need. So the recruiting is a big part of this. getting to a bowl game will help them immensely in that area.
Vince, to piggyback off of that, I think everybody watches Saturday, sees a dominant performance against a ranked team, and then looks ahead on the schedule and automatically thinks Tennessee's got a great shot in these games. Are we overreading the tea leaves, or are we making too much of what we saw Saturday, or has Tennessee progressed to the point that they're that good at this point?
Well, I honestly, Steve, it's TBD. I mean, even Jeremy Pruitt admitted, he was asked today, you know, you mentioned that the players are practicing better and creating better habits. Do you know going into a game based on that how the team will play? And he's like, no. He said, you know, we played 10 games and we played different in all of them. And so, yeah, I think all those things are unknowns for him and how they're going to play. So I can't say that they're not going to have a rough performance on Saturday or not play as clean. They have to string it together. It's a good sign that they're doing some better things and they had coming off of their best game. But I don't know that that's who they are. And it doesn't mean that they're going in the wrong direction or anything like that. It just means young players, guys in a system, just inconsistencies with a first-year coach. I think the biggest thing on how they finish, guys, to me, is what Vanderbilt does this weekend. I know that sounds weird. But if Vanderbilt is sitting there at 4 wins when Tennessee comes to town, I don't know that there's going to be the same juice that there would be if that game is either for a bowl berth or for both teams, or if it is for Vanderbilt. I think it'll be on another level if Vanderbilt is able to win this weekend. So I could be wrong on that, but I think that could definitely play in. And look, if Vanderbilt loses this weekend and Tennessee wins, I think definitely a 7th win is in play for this team. So there's a lot there for them. And Steve, you mentioned what the preseason expectations were. I thought they were maxed out at 6, honestly. That's what I had them at, 6-6. For them, if they could get to 7,
yeah,
then you're talking about a bowl game, and then you have the opportunity to get to 8. And fans will say, we should have won South Carolina. So that's going to really ramp up the expectations next year if they finish off strong.
Speaking of finishing up strong, as we wrap this up, Daryl Taylor, not a bad day for him at the office on Saturday. 7 tackles, 4 sacks, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. Not bad.
Yeah, a half off of the school record for sacks in a game, which is held by Corey Miller, 4.5. It's his second 3 or more sack game he's had this year. He did it against Georgia as well. He's forcing fumbles while he's getting to the quarterback. And this is something that Kyle Phillips finally admitted to me, is that, and Pruitt won't, but I think they're using him more in a 4-down front with his hand down, which is what he used to do, and letting him get after the quarterback as opposed to the 3-4 outside linebacker where he wasn't effective. He was out in space and didn't have as many opportunities to get after the quarterback from his hand down. He has a quick first step and get off, and they're using him more in that way. So good on the coaches to see that and put him in positions where he can prosper, and he has.
Vince, have a great week. Enjoy the game on Saturday, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to seeing you guys in Nashville next weekend.
All right.
Looks good.
All right. See sounds you, really good. Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. We'll come back, kick off the 4th and final hour with D-Mace. We'll talk more about the Titans' victory over the Patriots.